Good afternoon, everyone. I couldn't let it go, I've got to say. I mean, I love James Treasure as well. And Stourbridge is in the West Midlands. It's not the North, Vicky. as a proud West Midlander, I couldn't let that one go without some comment. Anywhere past Watford Gap is the North. I love it, even after all these years. Amazing. So I'm going to be sharing mainly as an introduction to the prayer week, and I'll be showing a couple of clips. I'm going to start with one clip now, just to get you thinking. Oh, so near yet so far. It makes you want to watch it now, doesn't it? I really had to be careful there. Using a Game of Thrones clip, I had to find a clip that didn't have any violence, any nudity, any swearing. And trust me, that was difficult. But the reason it was a gratuitous use of a Game of Thrones clip, I know, but it was the use of the trumpet at the beginning of that clip that really got me. And anybody that's been around Christian circles for a long time that will know that back in the day, there used to be a real thing about people owning something called a shofar. Anybody heard of a shofar? And you had the ram's horn and you would blast on it. And I just felt that this week and what the Archbishop of Canterbury has been laying on his heart for the nation, it's a real trumpet call for us. It's a calling together of the people of God to get involved in something that's going to have a massive impact on our nation, but particularly individuals. You've probably got it by now, but I'm really into people. I love people. I love connecting with people. I love being around people. I speak to people and I just feel a sense of connection with all different kinds of people. And I know that it's something that God's put into my heart, really. So the Archbishop, thy kingdom come. So what is it all about? A couple of people, tell me, what do you think the prayer week is all about? See if we've managed to grasp it. Vicky alluded to it earlier. Go and shout out some stuff to me. Don't leave me standing or hanging. What's that? Yeah. Anybody else going to be brave? Yep, it's all good. And that's good, because the reason I ask this is not to catch anybody out, but I want us to really get the heart of what this week is about in terms of lots of other prayer initiatives we've had. And Vicky alluded it to the other week that those of us that have been around for a long time, that there have been lots of mass revivals promised or hoped for, and they've not quite materialized. And this isn't really about a prayer for revival. What really touched my heart about this, and you think the Church of England at the highest level have locked themselves away for 2 years to talk about what their next big initiative is. And this is what this is all about. Talking Jesus and thy kingdom come. What's the next big thing? And they've locked themselves away and they've prayed over it. They've discussed it. They've talked at the highest level. And interestingly, it boils down to this one thing. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. So why do we pray? Three things. The Archbishop said that there's going to be an overflowing joy in every Christian that he wants to see start to emanate. So we pray that each one of us should be filled with a joy that's so overflowing and so immediate and present that when we speak to people, they can't help but notice it. I'm not always like that. But spending time with people, they will see something different in us. That as we live in this way, that expression of joy will overflow and be felt by our friends and family. And then out of that, out of these overflowing lives, that they'll find their demonstration and acts of love and service to our communities. So in the best possible way, this week is all about me and it's all about you. It's about what we participate in on a daily basis. It's how we live. It's how we demonstrate the kingdom to others. So we're praying with thousands of other Christians across the UK and in the Midlands and the North to get together and encourage one another to be all that we can possibly be as Christians, to really show God's love. So I'm going to show that clip shortly, the one from the Archbishop, just to give you some context. But who's familiar with the Talking Jesus leaflet or the Talking Jesus survey? Vicky introduced it a while away. Anybody had the chance to look at it? And we went to a meeting with a guy called Lawrence Singlehurst, who's been one of the main guys in Youth with a Mission for many, many years. Even when I was a young Christian, Lawrence Singlehurst was around, so that's how long he's been around. And he's an amazing guy, but he was just sharing some statistics. And one of the things that really blew me away, and I want you to hear this morning, one of the statistics that came out of this, it said that in the UK, 67% of people know a Christian. That's amazing, isn't it? 67% of your friends and your family know a Christian. And the other amazing thing is, they like us. Yeah, in spite of what you might think, in spite of what people say, in spite of what the press might say, they actually like us. And you can look at the research yourself. They've done a comprehensive survey. And what they like about us is, get this, is that we're friendly, that we're caring, that we're good-humoured, that we are generous, that we're encouraging, and that we are hopeful. That is you. As somebody that loves the Lord today, that is you in a nutshell. And those are in the high 50s and 60s of people surveyed who aren't Christians, what they think about you and me. Is that not encouraging? It's got to be, hasn't it? Because the other things, in very small percentage terms, what they don't like about is, so we've got the big percentages of all the things they like, friendly, caring, good humour, generous. In the small percentage, very tiny percentage, and I think we need to grasp this, because we also get down on ourselves, don't we? We believe somebody else's press about us as followers of Christ. And in the low percentage, they think that we're hypocritical, homophobic, foolish, selfish, unhappy. These are non-Christians. And in the small percentages, so there's so much more that they like about us than they don't like. Doesn't that make you have more confidence when you want to go and have those conversations with people who you know don't yet know Jesus? That your starting point is, they know you and they quite like you. Some of you have got to really believe this. I've got to believe that. It's incredible, isn't it? Come on. It's good news, isn't it? It's already good news, because before you even start thinking about making excuses, this is me, about why I shouldn't talk to somebody, remember this. Most of them know that you're a Christian already, and most of them like you either in spite of it or despite it. You are liked and you are loved and you are admired and you are well thought of because of all of those qualities that Jesus and knowing Jesus has put into you. Oh, come on. It's good news, isn't it? So let's just look at this little clip from the Archbishop, and that will put into context why we're going to be praying next week. It's incredible, isn't it? Absolutely incredible. And there's a little quote I have here. I've just got to find it. I've lost it for a moment. Yeah, it's from the Bishop of Liverpool. And I love this quote. It really soaks into my soul and my spirit. And he says, sharing the news of the beautiful shepherd is in itself a delicate, a gentle, and a rich privilege. It's a wonderful quote, isn't it? Sharing the news of a beautiful shepherd, a wonderful saviour. Yeah. Those of you that don't know me, I haven't been a Christian all my life. Interestingly, in a lot of the findings of their survey, they found that a lot of people who are practicing Christians became Christians very early on or were brought up in a Christian home. I wasn't. I didn't become a Christian until I was 28. And that's when Jesus found me. and that expression of how Jesus found me was the beauty of understanding that there was a Savior who called me by name. He knew my name. It was a profound moment for me. Even though I'd known the love and the care of family and friends, there was something that broke through in my heart that just enlightened me to his love. He knew me by name, and he called me out of my dark place where I was. He called me out of my difficulties and my situation, in my circumstances, to a new life of light and liberty and freedom. And it's still been a journey, and there's still been battles, but I know from that day on he's been with me ever since. It's not a secret. The gospel is no longer a secret. And we are not here just to meet every Sunday to revel in the secret that we have. It's to tell others about the joy and the hope that we have, that Tom has been pressing home the last couple of weeks to talk and to see revealed in our lives more of that hope and in that joy. And in the book of Acts, so if you want to turn to your phones or your Bible, just read a few verses from Acts 2. At the beginning of the clip, they talked about the day of Pentecost. And I'll be reading from the Message translation, just in case it messes anybody's theology up. Yeah, I know some people get a bit freaky about it. They think I'm making the words up, but it is actually a translation called the Message. When I first got saved, I was a little bit freaked out by the number of Bible translations there were, and I couldn't quite make out how somebody was not reading the same as me when I was a new Christian. So the book of Acts, it says, when the feast of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Without warning, there was a sound like a strong wind, gale force. No one could tell where it came from. It filled the whole building. Then, like a wildfire, the Holy Spirit spread through their ranks, and they started speaking in a number of different languages as the Spirit prompted them. There were many Jews staying in Jerusalem just then, devout from all over the world. When they heard the sound, they came on the run. Then when they heard one after another their own mother tongues being spoken, they were thunderstruck. They couldn't for the life of them figure out what was going on and kept saying, aren't these all Galileans? How come we're hearing them talk in our various mother tongues? And I love the Message translation, because it goes on to say this, which nails it for me. It says, they're speaking our languages and they're telling us how great God's mighty works are. And that's the language that we're looking to tune into over the next week. That however we speak, however we pray, that people will pick up that we're talking about, and we're revealing in ourselves just how great and how good and how kind God is, not how angry he is. You know, God's not angry with you. Some people need to hear that today. God is not angry with you. He's never been angry with you. From the moment that you were formed and shaped in your mother's womb, he has loved you with an everlasting love. His thoughts to you have always been kind and gracious and merciful. He calls you by name today. It's a beautiful promise, isn't it? And I'm going to go back. I'm not going to test you, but I will. I promise you the next time I will test you, I'll say it one more time. I have a favourite Bible story. And if anybody can say which one it is, fair enough. But it's the story of the man from Gerasene, the demoniac who Jesus met and set free. If you know that story, it's a little bit like a zombie story. The story I'm referring to, you'll find in the book of Luke. And it's about a man who's been so tormented and so troubled by demonic activity that he's running around in a cemetery with no clothes on. He's got these chains that they've tried to keep hold of him in. So the villagers have been so terrified, they've tried to chain him. But he's become so strong and so powerful that mere chains can't hold him. And he's been self-harming and he's been cutting himself. He's not been eating. He's been running around. So you can just imagine the condition of this wretch, really. You're singing about amazing grace. This wretch who Jesus found. And I love that, that Jesus, more than any other time in all of the other places where he's gone to, this was the place where he went, a place between heaven and hell, a place between dark and light. He pitches up in this place and he's confronted by this man. And Jesus simply speaks to him. And as he speaks, he's freed and he's released from all of these things that have turned his life around. And what I love about that story is that somewhere, at some time, he was just a normal person, a normal guy. And then something happened and he became this tormented, afflicted individual. Then he meets Jesus and Jesus sets him free. And he begs Jesus to take him away. Jesus, I must come with you. But Jesus says no. What does he tell him to do? He says, go home. He was going back to a home that he'd never had before that day. All those years, I wonder what even home meant to him. If somebody had said to him, go home, what would that have meant to him or what would that have looked like? But when Jesus said, go home, and now he was in his right mind and had been freed from all his tormentors, he knew where home was. And I've said it before, and I won't get tired of it, in knocking that door. And Vicky and I were laughing about that when, you know, they were praying for somebody. And he started knocking the door and they were praying. And they couldn't believe that the person they were praying for was outside. Could you imagine the joy of that reunion as Dad comes home, all cleaned up, all free, all safe and sound, joyful? Actually, it's quite hard to imagine, isn't it? It's almost beyond our imagination. And Jesus had freed him. And I've got a little quote that I've been saying to myself that I've just started to think about. And it's this, that change people change the world. And I'm not just talking about in a Christian context. There have been lots of people who've had a change of circumstance or a change of situation, and they've become so empowered by it that they've started to change the world, not only of those around them, but people all over the nation. How much more can we, changed in the love of Jesus Christ, change our village, change our nation, change our world? So that's what we pray about this week. When you sign up, you're not just signing up for a little cozy prayer time, you sign up to say, Lord, do something, you and me, because as I change, I will change my world. Come on. It's good, isn't it? So I'm going to show you one more clip from Thy Kingdom Come, which I'm going to finish with. We're going to have a little exercise, a little something to do. But please listen to this. So when we were spending some time with Lawrence, he was asking us to get creative, to think about different ways in which we could engage with this week. And just as he was talking, and this particularly resonates with me, praying for friends, praying for family. You know, before I come to know Jesus, there were people that were praying for me, that knew about my difficulties, that knew about my situation, that knew about my circumstances. Pray, people in a big church, a church around 400, who have a prayer meetings, that were praying for me. How powerful is that? So what I've done is I've created these little key rings to give each one of you to fill in with the names of five friends. You don't need any more detail. First names is all it needs, or you want to put a surname, but it would be best just to put first names. And what I'm going to do is ask you to put five names on. I'm going to collect them up and gather them, and we're going to leave them at the hub so that when people are praying, they can just pick one of these up and pray for the five names. Because the reality is, I don't need much information, don't need much detail, because God doesn't. He sees a name and he knows exactly who it is. How encouraging is that? That you can just put one name on that piece of paper and God already knows who it is. And God already knows what he needs to say to that person and how he needs to reach into that person's heart and to bring about the change in their situation and circumstance. So I'm going to ask if we pass around and just take one each. And if you can, just over the next couple of minutes, to put five names of friends or family on each one. We'll gather them up. Now, if you don't want them to go in to the hub for prayer, then you don't have to take one. But if you'd like to see your friends or family and have them named on that so that we can see them come to know something about the great joy of knowing Jesus Christ as their Saviour. It's so exciting, isn't it? Yeah. So as you're doing that, I'll just finish with these couple of thoughts. When Jesus met with the man in Gerasene, there had already been a number of events where Jesus had met with people. And one commentator says this, that Jesus met a slave, a dead man, a prostitute, and a madman. Well, it will be one on either side, so there's room for six people if you just put one on either side, yeah. There's not, yeah. Anyway, so he said, so Jesus had already spoken life into a slave, life into a dead man, life into a prostitute, and life into a madman. And this commentator says it just shows how Jesus widens the circle of the people that God includes. Those who have been seen as contaminated and corrupting and unclean. And I just take this moment that after this prayer week initiative, and it's something that Tom spoke about, it's something that's close to my own heart, but the week after, on the 16th of May, is Mental Health Awareness Week. We really need to pray, you know, so even after that, so there'll be people on these lists that you know. I'm not talking about people who are demonized or anything like that, but people who are struggling on a daily basis with their mental health, with issues over identity and anxiety and all of the things that will come with that. So as we pray for this whole week, we pray believing. We pray believing that Jesus is going to start to meet with these people in a most remarkable way. Who's with that? You know, it's still a mystery to me that over 300 to 400 people who I'd never met before that were praying for me on a regular basis, how must it have felt to them the day that I walked into their church? This person that they've been praying for, giving his life to Jesus. Yeah. Not just me, but others. Dozens of others. Yeah. So if 20 of us put down 5 people on these little cards. You just think how amazing that would be. Yeah, Vicky, come on.
Yeah, just as John was saying, it just reminded me of a story which is encouraging, which when I was a teenager, a girl who was like a year younger than me got run over outside the house of our youth leader in the church that I went to. And I think it happened on the day that we were going to their house for like our small group. So we all like prayed for this girl. We didn't know who she was. And we prayed that she'd be okay. But we also prayed that she'd come to know Jesus. Anyway, she ended up becoming friends at school with another Christian girl. And she, like about a very short time afterwards, just turned up at our youth group randomly. She ended up becoming a Christian, but really like totally going for God. But it was just crazy kind of thing that happened, but just shows that God does answer those crazy prayers.
Come on, we're going to see some crazy answered prayers, yeah? I love it. So as you fill in your little key ring and put it back in the basket, I just want to close and pray. And I've talked about how precious it is that Jesus is so interested in the names on that little bit of paper that he's willing to call them by name to change something in their life. But if I just finish with this, can I just pray for you that you would recognize that all over again for you, just how precious it is to be known by name. That Jesus has called us by name, that he knows you intimately. And whatever you might be experiencing at this moment, You know, the stress of exams, the stress of deadlines, other situations and circumstances. There's nothing that he doesn't know about you today. So I'll simply close with that as we gather up the little key rings. Father God, we're just so grateful for the love that you have lavished on us, a love that is everlasting, a love of a perfect Father. And I just pray that even as we pray for those who don't know you yet, we'll be reminded of that truth about just how much you love us and how much you care for us and how interested you are in each one of us. And Father, we just pray for those outcomes that we would know a deeper sense of joy and hope and peace and kindness and grace, all of the things that you've promised us, that there would be a greater expression of that in each one of our lives. And as we express that joy that is almost inexpressible, as we live in this way, that others would see something in us that draws them to you, not to us, but draws us to a loving Saviour. So Father, we thank you this morning. We share the news of a beautiful shepherd, a delicate, gentle, and rich privilege. Amen. Thank you.